Alright, so, oh wow, my mic's really, alright, so I'm here with Max, and this is going to be, I guess, our first podcast that we're going to do, and since we are less than 5 days away from Let 'Em Dare, 30, I guess we're going to talk about that. So, say hi, Max.
Hi.
Okay, so, I put a couple questions together, just because, I have nothing better to do on this first one. First of all, how have you been doing? Because I haven't talked to you in a while.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing good. Playing a lot of video games and stuff. Keeping up.
Alright, so I'm just going to jump right into these questions. So, number one, so what is your opinion on, like, game programming as far as indie game programmers go?
Like, I think that it's good, but I think that business is dying out just a little bit, just because people are now, like, there's less of that aspect and more of the, like, graphics aspect done now these days, I think.
Yeah, and then being the geek slash, like, intense nerd that I am, I'm really a huge fan of Zelda, and not to mention, like, they're making Zelda graphics a lot better, but also,
I don't know.
Zelda, like, A Link to the Past, Link's Awakening is one of my favorite. I really like that. Mega Man.
I remember playing the original Zelda. Like, I remember playing the original Zelda on, like, I think it was N64. I think it was original.
But no, definitely not. It was for NES. Okay. The original. Did you play Ocarina of Time?
I think so, yeah.
I play that game on my 3DS all the time. Like, but,
that's like my favorite Zelda.
And I'm not talking about indie game programming in terms of, like, bought by millions of people or on Steam. I'm just talking like Let 'Em Dare style.
Yeah, there's a lot of those guys. Like, I respect those guys so much because, like, the business may be dying out, but there's still a lot of guys out there that are doing work and just doing it for fun. Like, and I respect that so much.
And yeah, and if I can, like, the reason, I know there's a lot of different reasons people, like, there's 2,000 people that do it, I think, in the past two times, but, like, and people do it. Some people do it to win, but I mean, it's fun. It's a new experience. And
what's your like opinion on Notch doing it and stuff? Like, do you think he's doing it for fun? Like,
well, definitely he's doing it for fun because he doesn't have any way to prove himself.
He's got so much money. He literally does not need to do anything else in his life.
Well, you know, you don't win money from Let 'Em Dare.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, like, he doesn't need any more money. Like, he doesn't need money to do anything else, so he can just do that for fun now and just whatever he wants.
Yeah, and Notch is, like, the way, like, Notch, first of all, he has a great taste in games and music, but, like, he's switched from different platforms. Usually he used Java back in this first Let 'Em Dares, but now he's starting to use, like, Dart and web games, which are a big thing in Let 'Em Dare, including Unity. Unity's probably the biggest, most used engine in Let 'Em Dare, but web programming, like, game development-wise, is really good for Let 'Em Dare because, you know, people can click on that link, they can play it, then go rate it, and, like, they don't have to download anything, so it's not skeptical.
It's really annoying sometimes to download stuff. Like, I just recently got into a little bit of Flash games online, and it's kind of annoying sometimes just to have to download stuff, have to pay for it. A lot of these smaller games can be really good, too.
And, like, well, I personally used to love Flash games, like AddictingGames.com. Back before you could even register or anything.
Yeah, I was into A-Game when I was younger a lot.
And Miniclip was the thing.
Yeah, but Miniclip was the bomb back then. Oh my gosh.
But, Flash games, I really still kind of like them. And I recently was making a Java game that I streamed that I'm sure a bunch of my fans probably know of. Called Squares, and you pretty much got to get to the end of the level.
Yeah, I saw you making that.
Kind of like a maze, yeah, and you got to avoid the red ones. And I couldn't, unfortunately, export it with the resources that I had, which was kind of disappointing, but it's all good. So we're going to jump on to our second question. We'll revisit some of these topics if we have time, but what is your favorite old-school game? So Doom, Wolfenstein, Quake, etc., and it's not a coincidence, is a coincidence that they're all
90s, 80s,
first-person shooters. DOS games, all the way to, like, early Nintendo games, like NES and SNES, or even, like, Game Boy Advance.
Personally, I was a huge fan of Donkey Kong Country, man.
Donkey Kong Country was great, yeah.
That game was like, oh my god, that I beat. Oh my god, I remember playing that on my grandfather's like Nintendo Entertainment System so much when I was a kid. This was a bomb.
Yeah, yeah, and it's funny because now they're coming out with. I don't think it's, like, totally new, but now there's stuff like Nintendo Virtual there's been Virtual Console for a while, but,
like
3DS Virtual Console, you can now play Game Boy Advance games. I got Mega Man 2, which is a NES or a SNES game. I think it's a NES game.
I remember back when that first came out, when they started releasing those, and, the first thing I did was I bought Donkey Kong Country. I was like, this is the greatest thing Nintendo's ever done for the
game. Oh, my, no doubt, like, Nintendo, I still love them. Like,
they're great.
And, like, the Wii would not be the console that it is without using the GameCube controller, and the GameCube was something totally different. That thing was...
The GameCube was amazing. Like, oh my god.
Alright, yeah. And we'll come back to this subject, because it's definitely something I want to talk about at a different point. But that's also why, like, any game development... is because, you know, old-school games like that, like tile-based or side-scrollers, they're so fun to me. But anyways, we're going to go to the next question. What's your favorite current game? And I think I know the answer to this.
So I kind of have a League of Legends addiction. I'm not going to lie. Here, I play it probably, like, at least 8 hours a day plus.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes around 12 hours a day. I'm not going to lie.
That's about how long I write code. A day, and then Blood and Dare is gonna be like 20 hours.
It's fun for probably League of Legends, I would say, but I enjoy playing some other games too. Like, I enjoy, Gary, you know Unturned and stuff, right?
Unturned's pretty fun.
Unturned's really fun. You should make an Unturned server, man. We should play on it sometime.
Probably not. Anyways, how do you think the game industry is evolving? Because I know people are mentioning, you know, virtual reality. I don't think that's going to be a huge thing until
while. Oculus Rift and stuff?
Oculus Rift is a big name in virtual reality at the moment, but whenever I think virtual reality, the first thing that comes to my mind is, like, the older Dave and Buster's when you had, like, the bee thing on and you could shoot enemies.
Yeah.
That thing was, thinking, what is this?
So, the Virtual Boy, I think that was really the first thing that came, like, for virtual, like, reality. Like, Nintendo created it back in the 90s. It was pretty unpopular. They only sold about 20,000 of them. It caused, after you played it about 20 minutes, it caused you eye problems, but it was goggles, and you look into it, and it had basically, like, a GameCube controller, and you could play different games.
And then the Konami headset, I think it was Konami, and you could, like, say fire, and then it would shoot. And it was, like, supposed to make people think that you'd, like, say fire to shoot, and it was supposed to make, like, if someone was reading or someone was in the room, they don't hear it, but, I mean, you're yelling fire, so.
And I remember, recently they came out with, they're working on them. They're working on these platforms that you can run on and stuff. Like, you hook up to harnesses and stuff, and you hook up your Oculus Rift, too, and you can run on it, and it'll...
I think that was a big thing people were looking at, like, Team Fortress 2, and he was on, like, a treadmill.
Yeah, looking for, like, Team Fortress 2 CSGO and stuff like that, but, like, people didn't, like, invest in it, I heard, because they figured gamers wouldn't really want to play with those.
Yeah.
And they don't really want to exercise with their gaming. I think it'd be more fun to do that, wouldn't you?
I mean, but, like, Wii Fit seemed to be a big thing. But then, like,
was fun.
Yeah, Wii Fit was really fun until you couldn't get the board to work after 2 days. But
no, my board worked for like 2 years, and my board still works. My board still works.
Yeah. No, actually, I think what it was is you had to have a password for it, and I forgot the password.
There was no password for it.
Or something, I don't know, but I couldn't use it. So, anyways, if we go back to like old school games, were a huge, huge thing. Like, with Oculus Rift, like, playing old-school games, like just as an example, like, Mario, like, Super Mario Bros., like, the original, where, where I don't even think there's any text or sprite animation. Like, dude, that game was great. And, like, back in the days when first of all, people actually cared about the story. Like, there's a time in between. There's a time in between Super Mario Bros. When story wasn't like something that, with the knowledge they had, story wasn't really something that they could focus immensely on. They couldn't have like voice actors, which I don't think Nintendo still focuses on at all. But they couldn't really do a lot with dialogue.
They've been using the same Mario voice actor for the past 20 years. I mean. I think, yeah, they don't really care.
They don't really need to get new ones. They can just, like, take the same audio clips from 20 years ago where there's, like, static. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I...
Can you, like... I'd
have to agree with you, like, oh, my God, the older games, I don't know, like... Yeah, when they... I mean, like, I'd say starting in, like, 2000, like, 3, you had a good, like, from 2003 to, like, 2000, like... 12 or whatever, you had a good run of stories.
Well, I mean, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time in 1998 had probably the one of my favorite stories in the world. Yeah,
but recently, like, games like Titanfall and stuff, their storylines have just fallen off so hard.
Well, and I don't think Titanfall was big for story, but, like, now, and I think a lot of people could probably back me up on this and could probably agree, and, like, this isn't something that any developers for Let 'Em Dare focus on, but really what the big deal is, I think, is is, like, a lot of people can probably back me up on the fact that, for example, Call of Duty, one of my favorite games that I played for campaign, like, for so long. I really love the storyline of Call of Duty 2, really, and Black Ops had a great storyline. But
Ghost,
I mean,
Ghost's
storyline, like, a lot of people can defend me on the fact that Ghost's storyline is realistic as of like the U.S.'s government, I would say. I'm not trying to turn this into a political lesson or anything like that, or I'm not trying to throw in political comparisons, but really, it's such an like illogical plot. Like, it's kind of out there, and people, I don't think the storylines of those games are work for people, like, people that actually play those games, because they aren't really informed with what the military are doing, that they have, like, 10 years technology advance. They're advanced 10 years in technology than modern.
I think in some aspects they're 10 years ahead of us, but in other aspects they're not. Because really, it's civilian. A lot of it's civilians creating this technology that's being sold to the government. I mean,
and then what do you think about for Advanced Warfare, them changing the whole engine? Because I'm personally not a huge fan of that. I played Call of Duty for the graphics that weren't as good as Battlefield, but still had some pretty great graphics. Like, there's no other first-person shooter game that has as good as graphics as Call of Duty besides Battlefield.
Well, there's not a lot of first-person. There's not, like, too many first-person shooters that are that popular that are, like, made right now. That are, like, out right now.
I mean, yeah. And, like, I'm a huge fan of the Team Respawn because they came from Modern Warfare 2.
Are you excited for Sledgehammer? I mean, I'm pretty.
Well, Sledgehammer's made a couple games in the past.
Yeah, they're basically just Blizzard and Activision. Like, they're owned by Blizzard and Activision.
But, yeah. Here's the deal, like, this game programming thing, like, people don't get as much time to focus on dialogue, but that makes, like, old arcade-style games, like, you play at Pizza Place's arcade, Pac-Man? Like, no. Pac-Man is so good.
It is. I got to, like, level 20 on Pac-Man. It took me, like 2 to 3 hours.
I mean, yeah, and Pac-Man... It's a great game. But anyways, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of switch it up. And I've been talking to Max. I've been asking him some questions, going back to the topics that I've been asking him. What we're going to do is we're going to switch it up now, and he's going to ask me questions. So he's going to ask me the questions. I'm going to answer them. And yeah, so we'll be right back. All right, so you have questions for me?
I do.
All right.
So the first thing is, so how long have you been programming? I mean, I think I have a general idea, but I'd really like to know.
So anywhere, like, the idea of computers has been in my mind since I was probably, like, 6. But, like, me loving computers, my dad being in the IT business, it's always been a big thing for me to really enjoy computers, but anywhere from 3 to 5 years, I have been actively, algorithmically figuring things out on a computer. And I'd say 3 of those years include, like, serious programming.
Okay. So where did you learn to program from?
Okay, so obviously, in my opinion, there's, like, two aspects of a programming language. There's, like, the syntax, and then there's the API. And the syntax is really doesn't take long to learn, but it can take a long time in order to learn, like, the API of a language. And really, syntax I learned from looking up what I need to learn, going to many different resources, but that's also how I would learn API. But mainly, the API that I learned was either looking up what I wanted to, like, learn how to do in a whole, not just specifically one or two things you can do, and learned a lot of API from that. But also, I'm really, a lot of it was self-taught.
Okay. So, probably the biggest question right now is, are you going to be participating in Ludum Dare, man?
If you're specifically talking about Ludum Dare 30, yeah, I am. And I'm going to be trying to stream it. Like, that can be an issue, especially because you never know what's going to happen. But, I mean, that's a big, like, goal for me is I want to be able to stream it and like, do everything on stream. So, especially my fans that are trying to learn, you know, game programming and whatnot, like, and they're trying to get into this, like, definitely it'd be great for them to watch the podcast, or not the podcast, but the live stream, and learn, you know, their way around. So, yeah.
So, I mean, what's your favorite programming language, man?
My favorite programming language is probably PHP or Java, and I started out with Java, but
like most of us.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of people start with Java and C++.
I can see a little bit easier to start with Java, personally.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, I totally agree with that. But, like, what you can infer from Java, you can, or any language, you can really apply to any other language. But my favorite programming language is probably Java or PHP. But definitely probably PHP for what I want to do in the long run, which could be anywhere from, you know, app development. I don't, there's really no telling, but, and app development in terms of making the next Facebook or Instagram or Google. I don't know how to explain that, but.
Yeah.
So, as far as, like, Ludum Dare goes, I hope that really, like, that hoping that goes well is a big deal, and planning everything out is huge. But there's a couple of other topics that you've asked that I'm sure you probably are able to touch on again, like, how long have I been programming? So the way you learn to program, and how long it takes for someone to be, to, like, start learning to program is different, like, depending on their age, and I started when I was, like, 9 or 10, so it was a little bit, like, more difficult, so, that was, like, a huge thing. It being more difficult, it wouldn't take someone as long as it did for me to get to the point that I am.
Okay.
So, what are your future goals in programming or IT or computers?
Me?
Yes, sir.
I'm not so much, like, I do a little bit of programming, not too much, but I'd personally like to go into engineering. I mean, computer sciences, I mean, I'm not too into it. I'm little, but I'm more into the game, more the playing aspect of it. So I want to go more into engineering when I'm older.
Yeah, I mean, and so, like, participation in Ludum Dare, honestly. What do you personally think that you can get out of participating in?
I mean, I think it could get you out there. I mean,
not as far as like getting your name out there as an indie developer, but also just like testing your skill, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, it can test your skill. I mean, it can show other, like, I mean, imagine, like, I mean, Notch participates in this. I mean, imagine if you get noticed by Notch or something and he thinks you're good. I mean, just imagine, like, someone out there could see your talent and then recruit you or something, like.
And, not like, Notch isn't big on into this competition. I think he participates every once in a while. But, yeah. Like, I don't think, I'm hoping you're not inferring that Notch is, like, the only person Newground Games, one of the, probably a huge website. Ooh, NFL actually pull up the page right now. I think they're like sponsored with Newground.
Newground's made a lot. I remember Miniclip had so many Newground games.
Yeah, and like they're being like in with Newground. Like, I mean, that's a big way to get your games on there. Like, and honestly, one thing I wanted to do recently is publish other people's games. Like, not only make my own, which will still be a thing, but also publish other people's products, because I love helping people's, like, smaller names get out there. Because, I mean, it's fun being able to tell people that, you know, hey guys, like, this is cool. And also the satisfaction of, like, knowing that you really helped someone.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know if you planned on asking me the same thing, like I just asked you, but again, like, what else do you think you can get out from doing Let 'Em Dare?
Me? I mean, I think you can get experience, too, under, like, because, I mean, you get, what is it, 24 hours for singles and 48 hours for doubles, right?
No, it's 48 hours for doing it by yourself. You got to make all the things. And the jam, you can use either yourself, but you have 72 hours, and you can use other people's assets.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I think it could really be, like, good experience for you under, like, high-pressure situations. If in, like, real life you have to get something done really quickly on, like, in terms of coding and in terms of programming, and in this situation,
and, I mean, like, you go, one thing that's a big, huge deal, like, with game programmers, like, you can really, you know, like, it's really hard to stay on task, almost. Like, keep on one project. I've had that problem.
I've heard you talk about that before.
Yeah, and I tell you, every person that comes to my stream, besides, like, a selected few that are really dedicated because they're working in groups, like, everybody has problems with using the same project, like, staying on the same project. But with Let 'Em Dare, you have 48 hours to make a game. And think about that. No one's going to stay up for 48 hours. That's hard to do. And by the 24-hour mark, you're already exhausted. And, I mean, your code's already going to be really, really sloppy.
Are you going to stay up for 48 hours straight in program?
No. Like, a lot of people get less than 30 hours in order to actually make the game. And a lot of them, it's like a last-minute thing. Like, you got to finish the, like, some people just finish the move, the music, like, in 2 hours and load it into the game 2 hours before the game, before you have to, like,
submit it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a huge deal.
Okay, yeah.
And I think I've heard of people, like, planning to do it for the compo, but then, like, they really want to implement a feature, so they wait for the jam, and, you know. But one big problem is that you have all these huge issues with, like, you're really working on this engine or whatever, or you're trying to do specific things, you're trying to get them down, and you're trying to work on, like, all these things, you know, to get your game to work properly, and you go through all these errors, like, getting the game to work in a web browser, and you spend, like, 6 hours doing that, literally, 6 hours doing that, and you miss being able to make the gameplay great.
Yeah, you can't make it like a perfect game. It has to be like, it doesn't have to be 8-bit per se, but it can be, it has to be, it can't be advanced HD, it can't be,
it just, well, and like I said, a lot of people use, like, and for the jam, that's definitely more possible, because you can use other people's assets, and like, for the jam, that's 72 hours to make a game, dude. Like, you don't even have to worry about assets, because you can already use assets that are pre-made. Like, this is 72 hours to make a game. So the jam games, like, these are actually ones that could be turned into, like, big deals.
Yeah, definitely.
And Let 'Em Dare really, really helps you learn, like, more efficient game programming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, after doing Let 'Em Dare for the first time, it's such a learning experience that you can go and you can make a game of 48-hour quality in, like, 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You learn what mistakes you're making, and you can go and fix bugs that you know, okay, so after the game that you had, or after the competition that you had,
mm-hmm.
And then you're just like, okay, so you have these problems, right, and then you're like, okay, I just can't do this, I gotta finish the game, and it will just have to do without that, but then you have the time to go fix it, and then next one, Let 'Em Dare, if you wanna implement that feature, then you already know how to do it.
Definitely.
So that's what makes Let 'Em Dare, like, really a great learning experience, especially for people trying to start, indie development, making their own small little cool little games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's, I guess that's really all that we have. So, yeah, I want to thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thanks, Garrett, for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, no doubt, dude. All right, I guess, thank you. I guess that's the end. All right, thank you, guys.
Hi, everybody.